I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. There's an organization on the Central Coast that for over 25 years has been serving foster children and high needs children, youth and families. It's the Family Care Network, dedicated to improving the quality of life of those it serves by surrounding them with compassionate assistance, care, and guidance. With me today in the studio is the Family Care Network's CEO, Jim Roberts. Welcome, Jim.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. I think first, Jim, I'd like to have you just tell me exactly what the Family Care Network is. You serve foster children, but you do a lot more than that.
We do. Initially, we started, just as a therapeutic foster care program. When I started the Family Care Network, that was kind of our focus, the idea of having a family-based alternative for institutional care.
And what does that mean, therapeutic-based foster care program?
Meaning, working with children in the confines of a family that has been specially trained to work with these children one-on-one so they don't have to be congregated in an institution. The research shows that's the most effective way to work with these children. So that's what we've really helped pioneer that in California. Mm-hmm. And then over time, we've added other what we call community-based services that focus on keeping children in families, preferably their own, keep them in school, keep them with all of their natural connections. So we actually do 18 different programs now, and ranging from our foster care to different children's mental health, wraparound services, and then we have an array of transitional age youth supportive housing programs as well.
Tell me about the region that you serve and how many people you actually serve.
Well, we serve San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. We average, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 children, youth, and families a year.
And are you cooperating with other agencies or nonprofits or groups?
We have really, really close partnerships with, like social services, mental health, probation, and the schools. And so everything that we do are collaborative programs, actually. And then we do interface with other community-based organizations, whether it be the homeless shelter, whether it be the women's shelter programs, CAPSLO. We've had partnerships and work closely as a collaborative.
And what are some of the trauma issues that face the children and families in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties?
Well, trauma is an interesting one because that's definitely kind of a buzzword, kind of a very vogue focus in the last probably, 5 to 8 years. And, what we experience in, trauma, I don't know if you're familiar with, or our audience might not be with the ACE study. It's about traumatized children, the effect of trauma on children. And that was a landmark study that came out a number of years ago that's really directed a whole service base, to really focus on how to treat trauma effectively. So what's really nice now is that we have skills and techniques and intervention models that really know how to work with those children and youth very effectively to minimize the damage from trauma and really to put them on a path towards healing.
Are you finding that most of the children that you serve and the youth that you serve have faced some kind of trauma?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just think about it. Any child that's been removed from his or her family, mm-hmm. that's a traumatic event, let alone what they may have experienced within their homes.
Are there any misconceptions about trauma or about the children and families in need whom you serve?
I think there are some misconceptions. I think there's some big misconceptions. I think oftentimes people think of foster care and equate it with bad kids, and that's just not the case. I mean, those children that are in the system are there for no fault of their own. I think another misconception is on the service side of it, and that is that people don't really understand the role of the foster parent. They think, okay, well, they put kids with us, and then we're kind of there to fend for ourselves. And actually, it's a partnership with the foster parents where they're so supported, and they're trained, and they get 24/7 access to services. So that's another, misconception, I think, that's prevalent in our industry, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guest is Jim Roberts, who's the CEO of the Family Care Network. Tell me, if someone wants to become involved with the Family Care Network. What's involved?
We have lots of opportunities for people to become involved and engaged with this very needy population of children and youth in our community. Being a resource family is one of them. They could also be a mentor, a tutor, a volunteer. There's other levels of involvement, you know, that they can contact us about.
Do you have people from all walks of life who come to you and volunteer to be resource parents?
We do. It's so amazing. You know, we have had the continuum for sure. I mean, we've had young couples, some that have had children while, you know, their first kids while they're foster parenting. And we get a lot of retired folks that are in the empty nest syndrome and they still want to be engaged and involved with children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we love them too because of the seasoning they bring. We have individual, you know, it's not like you have to be just a couple. We've have individuals that have done it. We've got them all.
Your annual report says you have an 89% success rate, and I want to know what that means. What is success to the Family Care Network?
I'm glad that you asked that. We're really compulsive about tracking outcomes. So when we say that we have X percent success, we have very clearly defined metrics and indicators that we have developed that are either industry standards, they're required by law, or that we have worked out with our county partners in contract. Very clearly what success means or what a case failure might look like. So let me give you an example. So if we say we have an 89% success rate in our foster care program in nearly 27 years, we can show what that means. That means that these children were reunified with family. They went on to permanency, either guardianship or adoption. Their behaviors were stabilized so they could return to where they came from when they were referred to us, or they moved on to independent living, like into one of our transitional housing programs. Versus the other side of the coin are those that ran away that we had to ask the county to take back because we couldn't manage or control their behaviors. Every program we identify really clear metrics and indicators, and we track those routinely. And then we return them in our annual report, as well as we're analyzing them on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. How does the Family Care Network get its funding?
The bulk of our funding is, you know, through state rates, government contracts, contracts with the county, grants. You know, we're all constantly looking for and applying for grants. And then we do our fundraising events. Those are absolutely necessary because we have a standard of excellence and quality in what we want to deliver. And we won't compromise that. And so we always are looking to augment our resources to make sure we deliver the highest level of care so that our community support is a huge piece of what we do. Because, I mean, you can't depend or expect the government or the public to pay for everything. And so having the community come alongside with us is our model.
It's Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with Jim Roberts, who's the CEO of the Family Care Network. Jim, we hear a lot in the news about what happens to kids when they're out of the system. Do you do anything to prepare kids for that time when they're out of the so-called system?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess because of my background, having worked a number of years in probation and being a probation chief prior to starting the Family Care Network, I was really frustrated to see how so many children would hit the 18-year-old door and be pushed out with no skills or resources. So we have made an effort throughout our entire tenure to not only develop skills and programs to serve these kids, but also some very specific programs. So, you know, we have kids that are 16 and 17 that can get a special level of service to prepare them to move out on their own. And then we have programs that will serve kids from 18 to 24. So we've developed a book called The Life Book that goes through seven domains, and it's a skill-building workbook. Every youth that we work with takes a life skills assessment instrument tool that we use, and so we can find out what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and work with them to develop a real specific plan and how to, you know, get the skills that they're lacking. We have seen an amazing, you know, turnaround in these kids. We're serving over 100 youth in ancillary program that are in college. I mean, when you understand that less than 3% of foster children nationally graduate from from or even attend college, that don't graduate, we've got a very high percentage of our youth that are attending some kind of college or training program. Let me give you another good anecdotal story of transitional age youth that came out of foster care, went into our transitional age youth program. We plugged him with a mentor because we have a real robust mentor program. And that mentor became a lifelong friend. And that mentor happened to own a plumbing company. That kid is now a journey plumber. Years later, he comes to my home and is fixing our plumbing. And it's like, oh my goodness. Here's this kid that had been in our program, and because of some individual in the community that had a heart to help kids, and now this guy's, you know, very successful.
What are the areas that you think Family Care Network needs improvement? Where, how do you want to grow?
You know, one of the things, I guess, is we want to continue to grow more so in terms of our community connectedness, to have the community more engaged and involved, whether it be, you know, the resource family, but there's a plethora of other things where we have more people that are coming up and working with us to be mentors or tutors or reading specialists. We train people to teach kids how to read, for instance. Another area that we really want to grow in, and of course it's a hot button issue in this day and age with the Affordable Care Act, is that there's a whole group of people out in our community that are struggling with behaviors with their children, and they can't access the same kind of services that a kid can within the system because the insurance industry has not come around to be able to fully provide mental health parity yet. To where a kid can get the same kind of intensive one-on-one effective interventions that a kid in the system can.
What are the Family Care Network's areas of greatest need from the community?
There are areas that are just not funded. You know, for instance, it just sounds funny, but we really don't. A foster home recruitment is not really funded. Mostly, though, it's with our working with our transitional age youth. When we help them to set up an apartment, there's no funding to pay for that initial rent and those deposits and the furnishings and the all the supplies that are needed, you know, to set up an apartment. There's no funding for that. So we're totally dependent on community support. You know, and there are other areas where at times we'll have a client that doesn't qualify for certain, you know, mental health services, but we're going to make sure that they get them. We will draw upon our donated funds to pay for those services, you know, if they're not eligible for, you know, the government-funded services.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you want to talk about the Family Care Network that I haven't asked you or we've not addressed?
You know, I think for me, it's that the people understand that, you know, we have a very clear mission and focus in terms of the population that we serve, that we're here serving a population that sometimes is really blind to the public, and yet they're good kids. They're kids that just need somebody to help them, to believe in them, to support them, and, you know, that people can identify. You know, Family Care Network is that organization. I mean, we've carved out a therapeutic foster care model that's now becoming the state model for implementing therapeutic foster care statewide.
And if someone wants to become involved with the Family Care Network, how does one contact you?
Well, a couple of ways, real easy. They can just go online to our website, which is fcni.org.
fcni.org.
And or they can, you know, call our office, you know, 781-3535. You know, we'll get connected with the right people. In fact, if people just want to check us out, we invite them to come down to our office. We'll give them a tour. They can meet people, really get oriented towards our whole approach to, you know, serving children and youth.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. Jim Roberts is the CEO of the Family Care Network, serving San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. It was a pleasure having you.
It's been my pleasure being here. And thank you so much, Marisa. You're just a great host.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.